Amen indeed. Welcome back, Catholic Connection, Ave Maria Radio, on this, the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. If you have a question for our next guest, it's always an honor to have Roy Shulman on with us on Catholic Connection. He's been a guest with us many times in both the local and the national hours, 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. And Roy, now I can say that we have the same publisher. Good morning.
Good morning. Congratulations. Or Mazel Tov.
Thanks. Thanks very much. And thanks for joining us. I was telling our audience, who was talking, of course, so much about Our Lady this morning because of the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, that you have a special connection and a very beautiful story as part of your conversion that I wanted you to share. I didn't want to give it away because it's just so neat what happened to you. So I thought maybe before we get into the subject matter for your the talks that you're going to be giving at the conference on the 21st, that we could talk about your connection to Our Lady. Good morning. Thank
sure,
you.
Sure, I'd love to. The story starts, I guess I was a essentially atheistic Harvard Business School professor. This is when I was in my early 30s. And in really despair, because there was no meaning to life, you know, you die, you're dead, and all of that. And in that despair, I received a spectacular grace of a short interlude where I found myself in the presence of God, and I saw that we live forever. I saw about divine providence. I saw mostly about God's infinite love and care over each and every one of us. And in that experience, I went instantly, or, you know, over the course of a few minutes, from an atheist to being, to knowing the meaning of life, actually, and knowing that the role of morality and heaven and so forth. But I didn't know who this God was. And at the time, I wasn't willing to hear that it was Christ because I was Jewish and I had a big chip on my shoulder about Christianity. So after this experience, I wanted nothing except to find out who my Lord and God and Master was, who was the meaning and purpose of my life. And so I prayed every night before going to sleep to learn his name. And a year after that initial experience, I went to sleep. I thought I was woken by a hand gently on my shoulder, led to a room, and left alone with the most beautiful young woman I could ever imagine. And just to be in her presence, to feel the love coming from her, the purity and intensity and totality of that love, was to be lifted into a state of ecstasy greater than I ever imagined. And I knew without being told that it was the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the first thing she said to me was she offered to answer any questions I might have for her. Now, when I found myself in her presence, all I wanted to do was throw myself on my knees and somehow honor her appropriately. So the first question, the first thought that went through my mind is, oh, my gosh, I wish I at least knew the Hail Mary. But I didn't. So when she offered to answer any questions, I wanted to ask her, would you teach me the Hail Mary? Aww. But I was too proud to admit that I didn't know it. So instead, as a kind of indirect way, I asked her what her favorite prayer to her was. And she very graciously recited a prayer to me. And since she had said she would answer any questions I might have for her, I asked her about four or five other questions, which she answered, which gave me essentially a very good grounding in Catholic theology. And then she spoke to me a little longer, and the audience is over. And the next morning when I woke up, let me just say, you know, to be, you know, frank, obviously I was asleep at the time. I didn't think I was asleep at the time. I thought I was awake, and my memory is as though I was awake, and I remember the interaction word for word in a kind of waking way. But I know now that, you know, if there had been a camera in the room, it would have shown me asleep in bed. Mm. But anyway, the next morning when I woke up, I knew who the Blessed Virgin Mary was, and I was totally, frankly, in love with her. And at that point, I was willing even to accept Christianity and that the God who had revealed himself to me in that earlier experience was, in fact, Christ.
Wow. So in terms of that experience, after it happened, I mean, it was so powerful that you didn't have any problems accepting it, because you said you went into this with kind of somewhat of a chip on your shoulder, you know, being born into the Jewish faith. So once that happened, well, to you, it was like just an easy step for you, would you say, or no?
No, I would say that I kind of got dragged. Each step I got dragged, kicking and screaming. I mean, you know, the first I was very resistant to Christianity. Then when I realized this was about Christianity, I was very resistant to the Catholic Church. Even though I was in love with Mary, I hated the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Or had all of these black libel, you know, kind of preconceptions about the Catholic Church. So each of those stages I did kind of fight against, but you know, my heart just pulled me very strongly because, you know, because I basically felt God's love and I felt Mary's love. So those walls crumbled relatively straightforwardly.
Why do you think there is so many issues for Jewish people, especially when it comes to the Catholic Church and those converting who may go, let's say, into Messianic Judaism before or maybe never even coming into Catholicism?
Well, I think there are two things going on there. One is what's sometimes called the black libel. I mean, all of the calumnies, let's face it, there are basically two spiritual forces out there, right? The good guys whose headquarters is in the Catholic Church and the bad guys, and the bad guys' number one target is the Catholic Church. So there are lots and lots and lots of calumnies out there. You know, now we have, you know, the ones of today, but they were always in the past. Then a recently passed was, you know, that the Catholic Church was somehow sympathetic to the Holocaust or even behind the Holocaust. There was the stories about the Inquisition, the stories about the Crusades. So there have always been these very black pictures painted, you know, about the Catholic Church and how evil it is and so forth. And I grew up with those. So, and many of the Messianic Jews I know have a problem getting past, you know, well, what about the Inquisition? You know, what about this incident? What about that incident? And most of those are libels. In other words, most of those are very one-sided kind of distorted snapshots of a complicated situation. But they do a lot of damage. But the other side of the equation is, frankly, the Catholic Church isn't out there evangelizing the Jews very much. But, you know, the Southern Baptists are and the evangelicals are. So when a Jew, when a Jew's heart opens to Jesus and that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, which of course he was, and he starts casting around, it's not as though, you know, he finds a welcome mat out in front of the Catholic Church saying, oh, you're a Jew interested in Jesus. Well, let me tell you that the Catholic Church is the continuation of Judaism, you know. Instead, he casts about and he finds evangelicals who are very happy to explain to him how, you know, how Jesus was the Jewish Messiah and so forth. Once I became Catholic, it took me 3 years to make my first connection with another Jewish Catholic. I just could not get through this kind of wall of nobody in the church wanting to deal with a Jew who wanted to be Catholic.
Do you think that's changing? I mean, we've got several prominent converts from Judaism, yourself, Sister Rosalind Moss, and others. So you think that's changing?
I do. I think it's a wonderful sign of the times. And we have, for instance, Cardinal Burke, who was the Bishop of St. Louis and is now the head of the Signatura in Rome. He has made incredibly, incredibly positive statements about both about Judaism, as have the last two popes, but also about the Catholicism as the continuation of Judaism and the integral connection between the two, you know, the legitimacy of a Jew in the church still maintaining his Jewish identity. And this is pretty unprecedented. And of course, the positive statements about Judaism, Jews, that John Paul II made and now Benedict XVI have made were also unprecedented. So I do think it's a sign of the times that the mood is changing.
And what about the actual evangelization efforts besides the statements from the Vatican? Do you see more of a lay movement going on? Is that changing, do you think?
I think it's changing. You know, I'm maybe a little bit of a bomb thrower and nothing ever changes as fast as I'd like.
Right.
But I think it is changing.
I hear you.
There's the Association of Hebrew Catholics, which is pretty well in the good graces of the church, whereas perhaps 20 or 30 years ago it would have had a harder time getting traction in the institutional mechanism. Rosalind Moss's order, I think, is doing a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's named it Daughters of Mary, Mother of Israel's Hope.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So even the fact that there's the identification that, you know, that's who Jesus was. He was the hope of Israel. He was the Messiah that Judaism was hoping for 2,000 years.
Now, you're speaking October 21st to the 23rd. This is the conference. Stand Firm on Tradition is actually the theme, but it's Deep in History Conference, and it's put on, of course, by Marcus Gerdes at Coming Home Network. You're talking about the connection between Judaism and Catholicism, especially in sacred tradition, correct?
That's absolutely correct, yes. Yes, there are at least two dimensions, that connection, that I get excited about. One is that Judaism itself, from day one, I mean, from 2,000 years before Christ, always understood that you can't just have a written scripture. That the story in Judaism is that when God gave Moses, you know, the Ten Commandments on the top of Mount Sinai, he also gave him a sacred tradition. In other words, from the very beginning, it was understood you can't simply rely on the written word. It's never going to be absolutely enough. There are always going to be ambiguities, and there are always going to be details that you need to know that are left out. And over time, circumstances will change, which couldn't have been reflected in the written scripture earlier. So you're always going to need something like a sacred tradition. And that was in Judaism from day one. And so I think it's kind of interesting that the whole, you know, that whole sola scriptura debate, you know, the origins of Christianity, i.e. Judaism, already resolved that debate on the Catholic side, so to speak.
Let's take a quick break. Let's take a break because we are running a little bit late here, Roy. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I want to give people your website. What is your website if people want more information?
SalvationIsFromTheJews.com.
All right, SalvationIsFromTheJews.com. And also, that's the title of your first book, and your second book is Honey from the Rock, and both of them are excellent. And Roy is going to be speaking along with Marcus Grodi at the upcoming Deep in History Conference, and this takes place October 21st through the 23rd. I'm looking at Marcus's website right now, and it's at the Hilton in Columbus. And again, for more information, you go to either Roy's website or to the Coming Home Network as well. If you have a question for Roy Shoman, 877-573-7825. Again, that's toll-free, 877-573-7825. You're listening to the Ave Maria Radio Network. It's a Friday morning, the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, October 7th. We'll be right back. 8:51, welcome back. It's Catholic Connection, Ave Maria Radio. Again, this is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. Pray the Rosary. Powerful, powerful prayer. I don't need to remind you of that because you're listening to Ave Maria Radio for a reason. 877-573-7825. Having a very interesting and beautiful conversation with our friend Roy Shoman, who's a convert from Judaism. He's written two fantastic books, which I highly recommend. His first is Salvation is from the Jews. His second book, Honey from the Rock. And the Honey from the Rock was testimonies of other converts from Judaism, correct?
Absolutely, correct.
Yeah, that was a great book, too. Really enjoyed it. All right, we were talking before I so rudely interrupted you, but I had to get my break in because I wanted to continue our conversation without getting cut off. We were talking about sacred tradition, which is what you're going to be focusing on when you speak later this month for the Coming Home Network Deep in History Conference. And we also wanted to mention as well that today is Yom Kippur.
Well, Yom Kippur begins at sundown this evening. That's right. It's the beginning of Yom Kippur. And if I can just put in a little plug, it's all, as you mentioned, of course, it's also the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary, and you mentioned in the earlier conversation, you know, the basically evangelization of the Jews. So let me maybe suggest that some people out there might want to take advantage of the providence of Our Lady of the Rosary falling on the beginning of Yom Kippur and give their rosary today for the conversion of the Jewish people or the evangelization of the Jews. I think that would be a very beautiful gesture because, of course, Our Lady, this is her family. This is her children. She was a Jew who spent her life among Jews, so it must kind of break her heart, too, that her own children haven't picked up on who Jesus was.
I love Sister Rosalind Moss when she talks about Our Lady, and she uses her New York accent, you know, when she talks about Our Lady, a good Jewish mother, you know.
Yeah, that's right. that's right. People forget. But also because it's Yom Kippur and because we've been talking about the Sacred Tradition Conference, I'd like to mention one beautiful place where they intersect and one reason why the Jewish sacred tradition can be very interesting even for Catholics to look into, which is that despite itself, over and over again, the Jewish sacred tradition actually confirms who Jesus was and confirms the truth of the Catholic Church. And one of the places it does is in the story of Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the Jewish year. It is the most serious penitential day. It's the one day of the year where in the days of the temple, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies, the only day of the year that he'd enter the Holy of Holies, with a sacrifice for the remission of sins for the entire Jewish people. When he entered the Holy of Holies, a scarlet cord would be wrapped around the entryway, and a miracle would occur when the sacrifice was accepted by God for the remission of sins of the Jewish people. That scarlet cord would miraculously turn white. And the Talmud, which is the written version of the Jewish sacred tradition, writes that this miracle virtually occurred every single Yom Kippur, every year, except 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the miracle ceased to occur and never occurred again. What happened 40 years before the destruction of the temple? Temple destroyed 72 A.D. 40 years before, around 30-32 A.D., just the time of the crucifixion. And what's it mean that the scarlet cord never turned white? It meant that the animal sacrifice for the remission of sins of the Jewish people was never again accepted by God. So the Talmud actually confirms that the sacramental system of Judaism was replaced when Jesus died on the cross.
Mm. Now, when you said you came in, and I came back to the church kicking and screaming, you came into the church kicking and screaming. When you started to see this and see the connections, what was that like for you?
Oh, it was the fulfillment of everything that my Jewish heart yearned for. In other words, I never saw, I mean, you used the word convert, and I don't mind that, but I never saw any concept of conversion. This was, you know, this was finally what was really going on in all of Judaism, which I could never understand without the Catholic faith. I mean, I always was taught that the Jews are the chosen people, but what does that mean for what? It becomes completely obvious from through the eyes of the Catholic Church. They were chosen to bring the God-man to the whole world. They were literally chosen to bring salvation to all of mankind by hosting the incarnation of God as man. All of a sudden, what it meant to be one of the chosen people made sense to me. That was true everywhere in Judaism. Everywhere that I looked, all of the kind of question marks, things that never quite, you know, you could never quite get traction on, all of a sudden made perfect sense through the light of the Catholic faith. So it was just great.
So maybe not even a conversion, maybe just a natural flow of things for you.
A fulfillment, actually.
A fulfillment, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I have so many questions, and we have like 40 seconds left, so I'm just going to have you back on, because what I really wanted to talk to you about next time is this discussion of natural law and the order of things. Being how intelligent you are and how well-educated you are, I still find it fascinating that you had such a void, that you really didn't believe that there was anything beyond this world, especially growing up in the Jewish faith. I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about, you know, natural law, connecting the dots and why that wasn't happening, and you know, given your success and your level of education and whatnot, you would think that you'd be able to kind of break through some of that stuff. But then again, I guess sometimes when you're that educated, that could be a block. But Roy, always a pleasure. God bless you. Continued success in spreading the gospel and telling people about your story. And again, he will be speaking at the conference for the Coming Home Network, Deep in History. And he just told me the easiest website for the details, deepinhistory.com, deepinhistory.com. Up next, Brian Patrick, Janet Rata, and Leonardo DeFilippis, all coming up in the National Hour. Stay tuned.